Well, praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to the Shepherd's Call tonight, and we're so glad to have you aboard. Well, we've got a good one lined up for you here tonight, folks, and the message tonight is the stone the builders rejected, and we're going to get right into the message here and give you some very interesting information about the stone. Of course, we're going to go to the text that we're going to use tonight and set this up for you. And that will be in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, or the book of Isaiah, rather. And we're going to start at the 19th verse. Now, it's very interesting as we look at the scripture here in the book of Isaiah. It's a very prophetic utterance, and we find that there's a lot of interesting things about it. And notice in the 19th verse, in that day shall there be an altar unto Yahweh in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof unto Yahweh. And it shall be for a sign, and a for a witness unto Yahweh of hosts in the land of Egypt. Now, that's what we're going to talk about, and with the Great Pyramid, we believe that this is talking about the Great Pyramid that is in the midst of, says in the wording is very correct here, in the midst of the land of Egypt. If you really understand what that's talking about, remember that they had an upper Egypt and a lower Egypt. Well, right on the border between the upper and the lower Egypt is where the Great Pyramid is built. Now, this is an edifice that is awesome. We're talking about 13 acres with millions of cubic tons of stone that is, it took masonry stone to erect this great edifice here. And it's called a pillar. Now, that is Strong's number 4676, and if you look up that word, it will tell you that it's a stone. It's the same one that Jacob slept on the pillar in Bethel in the 35th and 36th chapter of the book of Genesis. And that is a very famous pillar, that stone that the Israelites, the tribe of Joseph, carried as a keepsake or as a heritage sake. It represents the bloodline, birthright tribe of Jacob, Joseph, or Yahweh. And that day there shall be an altar. And this is a wonderful thing. We're going to get into the intrigue of what that's all about. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be leaving Heritage Radio here at the end of the month. But we would like to pass this information along to you that we are now on True Radio out of California. And you can go to truth@truth.com radio, and we know the Holy Ghost is not loading that. Praise God, we're really kicking on all eight cylinders. So we're going to talk to you about the Great Pyramid and what is the significance of this great stone that is down in Egypt. Praise God. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 18 through 29, it really states that Yahweh has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt that are there even unto this day. Now, of the seven wonders in the earth, only the pyramid remains intact. Actually, some of the stone casings of the pyramid has been removed, But the edifice is still there, and it's amazement of mathematical wonders. Now, the pyramid in Egypt that we're talking about here, and remember that we read the scripture that says a monument or an altar will be erected in the land of Egypt at the border thereof. It's situated 10 miles to the southwest of Cairo, Egypt. The Great Pyramid stands on the northern edge of Giza, the plateau. It's 197 feet above sea level. Now, it just so happens that the atomic weight factor of gold is 197. The word Emmanuel is the value of that, using the Hebrew, is 197. So these are specific numbers that are woven mathematically into the great mathematician that Yahweh was. He has placed this edifice as a wonder to span the period of Adam's seed in the earth, praise Yahweh. Now, the Great Pyramid was placed in the exact center of all the land area of the world. Lines drawn through north and south and east-west axes of the pyramid divide equally the Earth's terrain. Now, isn't that amazing that they found the center of the Earth mass of the Earth, and that on this bedrock, underneath this desert there, that there is bedrock that is granite, and that it's held this enormous 13 acres. It is, ladies and gentlemen, it is actually the largest building on the earth. And the fact that it still stands after all, and there's been placement of its age varying anywhere from 25 to 30,000 years ago, up to as much as 4 to 5,000 years. But we do know that it's ancient. Now, in that day, there shall be an altar to Yahweh in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar, and that's Hebrew, Mateshva. Correctly translated means monument at the border thereof to Yahweh, and it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto Yahweh and the land of Egypt. Now, the great pyramid at the border, if you wish to press out all the land, the pyramid is built right in the center of all the land mass in the earth. Now, the physical appearance of the pyramid is very interesting. The Great Pyramid is the largest building in the world, as I said, and it covers 13 acres. It contains nearly 90 million cubic feet of masonry, enough to build 30 Empire State Buildings. Now, it is 454.5 feet, because it has never had the capstone placed. Now, we're going to get into some interesting scriptures that will tell you why, but that stone was not placed atop the cap. We're telling you that it's a prophetic monument in stone. The height planned by the builders and is evidence from the architect's original design was to be 485 feet, equal to a 48-story modern skyscraper. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've been up 130 feet on a tower, and that's pretty high. You look down, and everybody's beginning to, you see the top of their head, and they look like they're very little. Well, you multiply that times 4, almost 5, and go up almost 500 feet, and then take a look down, you're up on a pretty tall building. Now, the top piece was never set, having been rejected by Yahweh. Yahweh rejected the builders. The builders didn't reject Yahweh, as it says in the Greek. We'll show you the correct rendering in Matthew chapter 21:42, as we're going to talk a little bit about the text in that scripture. Now, the core masonry is composed largely of coarse limestone that was quarried from the plateau itself. And the number of these yellow limestone blocks was estimated to be 2,300,000 blocks, each weighing an average of 2.5 tons. And ladies and gentlemen, if that ain't a building, tell me what is. Now, within this building, the great miracle within this building is how it was east, west, north, south, east, west, and southwest sockets were formed to form a perfect, perfect pyramid. Now, the most perfect building on the earth, of course, is the pyramid. And it was built by, we believe, the sons of Enoch, or the descendants of Enoch. Enoch being the one, the great mathematician that designed the Enoch Circle, it's called today. Even today, it's called the Enoch Circle. Now, let me give you some astounding mathematical equations here that we could get into. Circle in Greek is 740. Eternity in Hebrew is 740. The word everlasting in Hebrew is 74. And the word witness in Hebrew is 74. Now, it says here in the text, you have laid the foundation of earth in Psalms 102, verse 25. If you total up the word value of that phrase, you have laid the foundation of earth, it totals to be 740. Creation in Greek is 740. Great stone is 740. Great God is 74 in the Hebrew. Blood in Hebrew equals 148, which is a total of 13. So the blood of the Messiah is 13 and 13 acres, and a circle 2 times 74 equals 148. So these numbers have a lot of meaning. 74 times 4 equals 296, which equals in Greek the word stone and the head of the corner, praise Yahweh, and the top stone. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the top stone and how it relates to us. We're going to get into some scriptures, and we're going over to the book of Acts, and we're going to read some of the scriptures that relate to the stone the builders rejected. Now, why are we talking about the stone tonight? We believe that the stone is very significant. It has a lot of powerful meaning in our spirit being. Now, meaning that the word stone is a code word or name. Now, here we go. The proof to you that the stone that the builders rejected is the name. They actually rejected the name of Yahweh. Now, how did they do that? They preferred another name. That's why the master builders of the pyramid and the prophetic utterance knew that the builders or the designers of the scriptures, that when they translated, that they would leave out the name which would represent the capstone. Every building, when it's in its finished state, must have a capstone. Now, the 13 acres symbolizes the 13 tribes of Jacob Israel. And we believe that it has a very, very important significance in the earth. And we believe that by the word of Yahweh. Now, we're going to start at chapter 4 of the book of Acts, and we're going to start at verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers and people and elders of Israel, it is if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to this impotent man, and what by what means he is made whole, be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Yahushua of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom Yahweh hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Now here's the key. This is the stone. Now remember, the text was a name. Here he's talking about by the name of Yahweh, Jesus in the Greek New Testament. This is the stone, or this is the name, which was set in thought of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And here's this important text. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby that you must be saved. Now, we're going over to Psalms 118. We're going to look at the scriptures in the book of Psalms, and we'll give you a little indication of how this stone was prophesied to come into being. Now, first, before that we go over to Psalms 119, we'll stop off at 22 and give you a verse of scripture. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So the name that came was declared by Yahweh himself. He was named before he ever came, and all the paths of Yahweh and the covenant is for his namesake. Now, we're going over again, like I say, to Psalms, and we're going to 118, and we're going to read a very interesting scripture in Psalms 118. Now, why would we want to talk about the name? We're going to tell you that it's been rejected, ladies and gentlemen, by two-thirds of the people upon the earth. They have rejected the great name of Yahweh, and they've gone whoring after corrupt and polluted names of blasphemy. And you may be surprised at those names. Praise Yahweh. Now, here it is. This is Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is Yahweh's doing, and it's marvelous in your eyes. This is a day which Yahweh hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Yahweh. I beseech you, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh, that is, in the name of Yahweh. Well, Peter said, this is the stone that was rejected of you builders. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven whereby a man can be saved. Psalms 116, verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh. Oh, hallelujah. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh. Psalms 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Yahweh, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Now, why would the builders, which are the translators, as I said, why would they reject the name of Yahweh? Because they wanted some other god to be God. And so then, the Greeks preferred Zeus. Now, if you take the Egyptian deity that we talked about here in the beginning of the text here, if you take the Egyptian deity Ea and combine the two-syllable word Ea and Zeus together, you've got Ea Zeus. Now, we challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, go into your Strong's Concordance and go to the Greek rendering in the Strong's Concordance for this word that they have flipped into the Bible. It should not be there, ladies and gentlemen, but it's there, and many people swear by it. Hold on to it. But we're going to give you some scripture to think about tonight. Remember, Ea Zeus is the Ea and Zeus combined together brings you the term or the name Ea Zeus. Now, go into your Strong's Concordance. Let's turn there quickly. We're turning over to the Strong's Concordance in 24:24, and we are in the Greek rendering for the name Jesus. Pronounced, look at it real careful here. Look at it. Look what it says. Ea Zeus. Ea Zeus. Now, that's how they pronounce the name of Jesus in its original form. Now, we have diluted it or polluted it, and we've come out with an English rendering that has no resemblance, but it still has a phonetic sounding of defeat. That is, Jesus. Now, we change it from Jesus into the Greek, or to the English, into Jesus. Now, in modern terms, we would say Jesus. But if you slow it down, you can see the utterance of Zeus still in the phrase here, Ea Zeus. Now, that's the stone that the builders rejected. Now, we're going over to the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew 21, and let's read, starting here in Matthew chapter 21, let's read a scripture here and see what it says here in the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. Now, let me get it to you real quick here, and then we'll go on break. Praise Yahweh. Now, look at this. 21, verse 42. Then the Messiah said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? I just read it to you, Psalms 118. The stone which the builders rejected, the thing has become the head of the corner. This is Yahweh's doing, and it is marvelous unto your eyes. And we're going to tell you in the second half of the show just exactly what the name of that stone is. And we're going to give you Matthew, again, 21:42. Then we'll give you, out of the Zondervan, the Greek rendering for that passage of Scripture. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to be very careful in some of the English translations of how that they've missed it in the Greek. Verse 42. The Messiah again said unto them, did you never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The thing has become the head of the corner. Now, let's read it in the Greek rendering. And the Messiah said to them, did you never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? Now, that's how they suppose it read, but that's how it reads. It reads, have you never read the stone that rejected the builders? Well, now, let us know what that means. The stone was the name. So, Yahweh rejected the builders that would do away with his name. Now, the name of Yahweh is the strong tower. That's the pyramid symbolized by the most ancient monument of 13 acres, which memorializes Jacob's offspring. How did these ancient builders know that Jacob would have 13 sons in the kingdom with the adoption of Manasseh and Ephraim, with the tribe of Dan excluded in the book of Revelation? It was the tribe of Levi excluded in the old chapter, the Old Testament, the Old Parchment. So then Yahweh and these builders knew that by the grand design of the pyramid that these things would happen. Praise Yahweh. Now, why did he say that the stone would reject the builders when it says in the English text that the builders rejected the stone? Well, now, what if it would have been like that, then the builders would have been greater than the stone. But in reality, it's the stone that rejected the builders and refused to have them to build his tabernacle or his house. Remember, Herod tried to build him a house. 42 years that they worked on this marvelous building called the temple, Herod's temple. Was that Yahweh's temple? Of course not. Remember what Yahweh said, I will tear this building down and build it again in 3 days. And the Jews said, oh, you talk so foolish. Well, it took us 42 years to build this. And you think you can tear it down in 3 days? You just throw at me. Well, of course, Yahweh was talking about the spiritual building that he would build. And there is some interesting text within the interior of the pyramid we like to look at. Now, originally, man has thought that the pyramids were tombs for the pharaohs. But we believe that the pyramid outdates the pharaohs, which goes back to approximately 2600 B.C. Now, the capacity of the coffer. Now, the coffer is the little ark that sits in the king's chamber in the north-south axis of the Great Pyramid. Now, remember, it is set in true north, ladies and gentlemen. And what does that symbolize? It symbolizes the ark or the altar of Yahweh. Remember, he said there shall be an altar there at the border thereof. Now, the capacity of the little ark coffer is equal to that of the Ark of the Covenant in the biblical tabernacle and the measurement that was given to King David in the molten sea of Solomon's temple. It was exactly 50 times this capacity and also equal to the measure of the king's chambers itself. Now, these mathematical figures, are they just haphazardly trying to get close to this? No. we believe its original position, that it was the king's coffers that sat there as a testimony that Yahweh himself and that the ancient Israelites would employ the same measurement in the Ark of the Covenant as they did in the coffer by the fathers that built it in 2600 B.C. or thereabouts. Now, we believe it's much older. Now, it's worthy of special note that the entire geometric structure of the Great Pyramid is designed on the basis of pi, 3.14159. It's the mathematical ratio upon which the whole physical universe is designed, and it is the value of y, 365.242, the number of days in Earth's solar cycle, the time interval and days between the two successive vernal equinoxes in the Earth's journey around the sun. Now, who knew that? Did the Egyptians know that? There's no recorded evidence anywhere else on the Earth that anyone knew that except the builders of the Great Pyramid. Did they incorporate pi into the design of the pyramid? Is something at work here that other than just mortal man, did angels actually, as the book of Enoch would suggest, assist Enoch in the development and building of the Great Pyramid? In mathematics, the 16th number of the Greek alphabet is the ratio between the circumference of a circle and its diameter of a straight line through its center. That is to say that the circumference of any size circle is always, here it is, 3.14159 times its diameter. This sign has been adopted because of the fact that the ratio in question has never been ascertained to its finality, although, of course, it has been calculated to an exceedingly high degree of precision, namely to over 5,000 decimal places, that is, 15 places of decimal equaling pi, which is 3.14159. So, ladies and gentlemen, somebody knew this geometric ratio of pi, which pervades in the whole universe, and they had the angles all down to a science when they built the pyramid as a monument to Yahweh. Now, there are 35 courses of masonry, 15 inches in thickness, in the king's floor of his chamber. Now, there's also a queen's chamber, and this geometric construction is always 51 degrees, 51.143 to the horizontal ecliptic of True North, where the pyramid is designed to be. And it stood the test of time, the only building, ladies and gentlemen, designed, I believe, by angels at Yahweh's command, knowing the respective numbers of the universe and the building blocks, which gives us the Enoch circle of 3.65.242, and that is the circle of the equation of pi. The breadth of the king's chamber is built into the equal of half its length. Only Yahweh knew how to do this. The height of the king's chamber equals half the diagonal of its floor. The length of the granite portion of the antechamber floor is equal to half the breadth of the king's chamber, and the length of the granite portion of the antechamber floor multiplied by 5, which is therefore a special pyramid number, equals the solid cubic diagonal of the king's chamber. Only Yahweh would know, ladies and gentlemen, how to incorporate these mathematical numbers and equations into this great building edifice at the border of Egypt. The length of the king's chamber multiplied by 25, which is again a pyramid cubic, equals an even 100 times the length of the chamber's granite floor. The length of the granite portion of the antechamber floor multiplied by 50 equals the length of the side of a square, the area of which equals the area of a triangle to the shape and the size of the pyramid right section. in the length of, or the height of the antechamber multiplied by an even 100 equals the base to the side length plus the vertical height of the pyramid. And you say, well, buddy, what does he have to do? Well, I'm getting down to the point that I want to make here about the sacred cubit itself comprised of 25 times 5 inches, and this is the inch of the 500 million part of the Earth's axis on rotation of the polar axis. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that those dumb cavemen type Egyptians built that edifice and put all these into incorporate the codes of the numbers? I doubt it. Praise Yahweh. These were built by the shepherd kings long before the dynasty of Egypt. And these great pyramids were there, spoken by some of the historians, long before the Egyptian dynasty. Now, here's the final pointer that I believe that will support the fact that Yahweh incorporated a message into the pyramid. If you study it, it is fascinating how the truth can come forth. You need to write for a tape, the truth in the pyramid. Praise Yahweh. And it will explain to you some of these wonderful, wonderful truths that are hidden from mankind. Now, in the text that we read you, in Isaiah 19 and 20, this is the text of Scripture. In the original Hebrew, it contains 30 words. In Hebrew, the letters of the alphabet were employed as numerical figures. Consequently, every word is itself a row of figures, and thus all Hebrew writing has numerical value. The above Hebrew text, 30 letters, words, as numbers as it is shown below. The value of every letter is given, and each line represents a word. And the total value of this passage of Isaiah 19 and 19 totals 5,449. Now, what's significant about that, you may ask? If you measure from the bottom base of the pyramid to the present height of the pyramid today, it is exactly 5,449 inches from top to bottom. Astounding, proving that Yahweh's word is forever settled. It is a monument to his testimony of his coming, as Job has answered in the book, and we believe that Job was one of the original architects of the Great Pyramid, praise Yahweh, and we believe that Enoch was in on the design and the building, and we do believe that angels also assisted in the work toward the pyramid. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to some of the history of Peleg. Peleg was the uncle of Almodad in Genesis chapter 10, verse 25 through 26. And he was the son of Eber, or Heber, whose descendants became known as the Hebrews. It was also contemporary with the period of the building of the Great Pyramid, for we read in Peleg, in the days was the earth divided, Genesis 10, 25, and 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 19. If the earth is incapable of separation from something else, we must conceive that some division of the earth, which would not destroy its unity, a division affected geometrically into such as degrees, minutes, and seconds, would be applicable to the expression, was divided. The location of the Great Pyramid, which divides the land surfaces of the world into equal parts. Now, all the land east of the meridian on which the pyramid stands, being equal within the limits of computation to the west of it, its physical application and expression. So in the days of the Heber, in the days of Peleg, was the earth divided, and that division was represented by the great stone that rejected the builders. Praise Yahweh. So, ladies and gentlemen, a conclusion of the matter is that the name of Yahweh is a strong tower or a monument, and the righteous run into it and are safe. That's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Get in the name of Yahweh. Accept the name of Yahweh upon your soul, let the name of Yahweh be emblazed in your spirit, man, by repenting and being baptized. Remember, Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other name. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if salvation is in one name, then isn't it very important to your soul and to the future of where you spend eternity what name that you are to use in your salvational pursuit? Now, the Bible says, make your election and calling sure. Remember, the English text said that the builders rejected the stone. The Greek text said the stone rejected the builders. Now, it is the stone or the name that you have to bow to. If you come before him with any other name, you see, these builders tried to insert a headstone that wouldn't fit. They tried to put another name. This is what it symbolizes, ladies and gentlemen. The Great Pyramid is just a testimony that the builders would try to insert a capstone or a name that wouldn't fit. Now, what about the name of Jesus? Well, we have indicated to you that Jesus is not more than 500 years old. Now, in 1611, if you would have spoke the name of Jesus, the English-speaking peoples of that era in King James' day, King James didn't call him Jesus. He called him Jesus. All of the writers of that era that translated the Bible from Latin into English never called this being in the New Testament Jesus. That wasn't, they didn't use that name. If you were to go back to 1611 and say Jesus, they would look at you very strange and funny because they wouldn't have known who you were talking about. Now, what name did they substitute? They took out I-E-U-E. In Greek, that spells Yahweh, or Y-H-C-H. Now, if they took out the name Yahweh, then they rejected the stone. Now, if the stone would not accept them, then the stone would have the absolute final say. And listen to this. In the last days, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Yahweh is the mighty one. What would that mean for you? Well, if you've got that name in your forehead, your spiritual mind, if that name is in place, if you've repented and been baptized in that name, then you're safe. If not, you're taking a terrible chance on eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, my advice to you is don't put off today or tomorrow what you can put on today. Now, how do you put him on? Well, turn with us now to Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, how do you know it says Yahweh does, brother, buddy? Well, if you turn in Acts chapter 26, verse 14, you'll see that Yahweh spoke to Paul in the Hebrew tongue. Well, the next verse down, Paul said that the scripture said, I am Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus is not a Hebrew name. So it could have been Jesus. If you look at the name Yahweh in Greek, it's I-E-U-E. If you look at Jesus, it's I-E-S-U-S. Now, there's a difference. And you say, oh, it's close. We're not picking horseshoes here, ladies and gentlemen. Your soul's at stake. Don't let the deceiver deceive you with a false name. Did you know the Bible said that they will have a name of blasphemy that the world will wonder at you? You reckon that they put in a name, the builders that rejected the stone, that would not have the name of Yahweh, that's the stone, neither is there salvation in any other, according to Peter. You reckon that they have replaced the great name of the capstone, Yahweh, and put in a lesser name of two gods, Jesus. Strong's number 2424, look it up in your Strong's, look what it says in the Greek, Jesus, or now in the modern term, Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't take a chance on having the stone fall on you, because it will grind you to powder. That's what Yahweh was talking about. If the capstone that you've placed up there is not the proper stone, then it don't fit on the pyramid of your salvation. Then that stone may fall down upon you and grind you to powder. Now, if you will accept the true stone fits, and this is the stone that fits. YHWH. YHVH. A or a W, either one. There was no V's or W. It was actually a U. And now we call it a W. So, now, the Latins looked at it as a V. So, that's the correct word to put in it. I-E-U-E. Not I-E-S-U-S or E-A-Zeus. But you see, when they wrote the name of Yahweh in three languages, they wrote it in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Right for the information, free and post-paid to you, how that they have set aside the name of Yahweh. We've got a tract called the Hallelujah Tract. And in it, I have written the evidence, the text and history and the Bible, and I'll show you how that the builders have rejected the name of Yahweh, and that Yahweh has rejected the builders. Now, you can't serve two masters. You've got to come humble to Yahweh and strive to enter in at the straight gate. For broad is the way and wide is the gate, and many there be that go on to their death and destruction. So turn from your wicked ways, come to Yahweh today, repent of your sins, be baptized in this great, magnificent, magnanimous name, Yahweh. And you shall be cleansed. You shall have a name that will fit the capstone of your pyramid, the anchor of your salvation, for there's none other name given under heaven whereby that we must be saved. Now, quickly, let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 89. This is the name, it says, of the whole family in heaven and earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Quaker, Shaker, you know, it doesn't matter. We're just all Jesus' people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. If the name Jesus is not even 500 years old, what was his name before 500 years ago? There is the secret of your search for the capstone of your building. Now, you know what the Bible said? It said, make your election and common sure. It also said, consider the cost when you lay a foundation if you've got enough faith to build the complete building. If you lack one thing yet, it will be required of you, and if you've rejected the name of Yahweh, then Yahweh shall reject you. You see, it's in Yahweh's hand, and he's the final judge. Now, if you come before him with a false name in your forehead, or a false name in your spiritual makeup, a capstone we're talking about here, salvation, and none other name, for there's none other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. So, ladies and gentlemen, get this name in your spirit, and the name will set you free. It's the name above all names.
Praise God. Well, that's what it's all about. It's strong and unspeakable, and it certainly is full of glory. Let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you want to go to heaven, you got to pay the price. Now, what's the price? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Pastor Fetters, Shepherd's Call. I'll see you Monday night, 8 o'clock on Truth. Sunday night, WWCR on 12.160 at 6 Eastern, and at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 3.210 at 11. We'll see you then. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio station. Praise Yahweh.